The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Can a carnal Christian be in fellowship with God? What is the difference between a carnal, natural, and spiritual Christian? And what does it really mean to be in fellowship with God? Thank you for joining us today, friend. We're so glad you have. This is Grace in Focus, and we are the broadcast podcast arm of the Grace Evangelical Society. Learn more about us at our website, faithalone.org. And also, we have a YouTube channel. It is YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. There we release short videos 2 or 3 times a week. Why don't you go there and subscribe and receive them? That's YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. And again, our website, faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Sam Marr.
All right, Sam, what do you have for us today?
We have a question from Tim, and this is about a blog you wrote recently, but the topic was carnal believers. So his question is, how can a carnal believer be in fellowship with the Lord? I thought a carnal believer was equal to the soil choked out by the thorns and the weeds, Matthew 13. Are they in fellowship with the Lord, and are all believers in fellowship with the Lord counted as overcomers in Revelation 2:3? So there's kind of two different questions there. But the first part is, how can someone that you call a carnal believer also be in fellowship with the Lord?
Okay, so how can they be a carnal believer? And what was the other verse he went to?
Matthew 13, the soil choked out by the thorns and the weeds.
Okay, so what I would suggest is this. If you go to 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, maybe you could read that.
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ.
Okay. And he goes on to say he didn't give them heavy teaching from the Word of God, but he gave them the light teaching, not the meat, but the milk of the Word, because they weren't ready. Well, here's the thing. Paul calls them babes in Christ. He doesn't call them babes in the devil. He calls them babes in Christ. In Paul, the words en Christo always, always, always refer to those who are born again. And these are babes en Christo. They're in Christ. And they're babes. You don't have someone who's born again who's not born again. So carnal here doesn't mean in rebellion to God. Carnal here means, well, what carnal means, fleshly, right? When we talk about a carnal believer, it's a believer who's living in a fleshly way and thinking in a fleshly way. In fact, he goes on in verse 3 to say they're behaving like mere men. They're behaving like natural men. And if you go back to 2:14 to 16 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the fact that there are natural men and spiritual men. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God, for they're spiritually appraised. But the spiritual man does, because the spiritual man has the mind of Christ. So what he's saying is the believers in Corinth didn't have the mind of Christ. They were baby Christians, even though they'd been in the Lord about 5 years. And based on other of Paul's letters, it appears a believer should be able to be spiritually minded, or in Greek it's pneumatikoi, within about 1 to 2 years of coming to faith. 5 years, they should no longer be in spiritual infancy. They should now be spiritually minded believers. But Tim's question is, well, how can they be, how did he put it? How can they be
in fellowship with the Lord
if they're carnal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's the other question. What does it mean to be in fellowship with the Lord, right? Doesn't that mean 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, neither one of those requires a person to be spiritually minded. In other words, let's say I'm talking to someone now who came to faith in Christ in the last 6 months. Well, they're a carnal believer. They're a baby Christian. I don't care how sold out they are for the Lord, how dedicated they are, how much time they spend in the Word, how much time they spend in church. It takes time to get enough of a grounding in the Word of God to become spiritually minded and have the mind of Christ. But that doesn't mean that the brand new Christian is somehow in rebellion against God. He's in fellowship with God. In fact, don't we begin the Christian life in fellowship with God?
Right. Isn't it self-evident in 1 Corinthians 3:1 in this verse? Because like you pointed out, there's the spiritual ones, the pneumatikoi, and then the other word he uses for carnal is sarkakoi. So those are being compared. You're a spiritual person or you're a carnal person. But then he immediately says the carnal people as to babes. So
right.
If carnal people and babes are being put on the same level, then when you first believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life, the implication is you're born again, you're a babe, so you kind of have to be carnal, logically. So I don't think it's fair to say that the moment you're in, like you're saying, that you can't be in fellowship with the Lord just because you don't know, you're bumbling around, you don't know what you're doing. The criticism Paul was making here is not that it's a bad thing to be a baby Christian. It was bad for them to be a baby Christian because they were not new. They had already had these teachings for a long time. But it's not criticizing people for being, I mean, you don't expect a baby to not be a baby when it's born. It has to be until it's raised and you feed it milk until you can feed it solid food. The problem is when you have a baby for a long time and it still isn't ready to eat solid food, then you get problems with development or whatever. But I think the term carnal is kind of being misunderstood by a lot of people as an evil Christian
right.
or something.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
I think the term carnal is kind of being misunderstood by a lot of people as an evil Christian
right.
or something.
And I would just suggest that the term carnal, you mentioned sarkakoi. Sarkakoi comes from the word sarks. Pneumatikoi comes from the word pneuma. Pneuma means spirit. The Holy Spirit is pneuma. That's why we talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is pneumatology. Well, sarx refers to the flesh. It can just refer to our physical bodies, but sometimes it refers to our fleshly inclinations. The baby Christian needs to grow. But if you read 1 Corinthians, what you find is the believers in Corinth were participating in the Lord's Supper. Some of them were getting drunk. They obviously had wrong attitudes about the Lord's Supper. But it's not like they were skipping church. They were assembling together with other believers. There's no reason to believe they weren't confessing their sins and they weren't receiving Bible teaching. It's just they hadn't advanced yet to maturity. But there's two types of carnal believers, in my opinion. One would be the person who's confessing Christ, walking in the light, is attending church regularly, but they've not yet attained maturity. Even if they've been in the faith for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, they've never become spiritually mature. But they're not in rebellion. But then there's a second type of carnal believer, and that would be like the prodigal son in Luke 15, who goes to the far country, and he's in rebellion against the father, and he has to repent to get back in fellowship. Tim, I would say there's no reason to believe that the believers in Corinth were in active rebellion against God. They were simply ignorant. They were culpably ignorant, right? In other words, if a believer hasn't yet grown to maturity, that's on them. Because God gives us what we need. Peter says, God has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. He gives us local churches. Maybe you need to start a church in your own home. I was reading about Darby the other day, and he was suggesting you could start churches with as few as 2 or 3 people. Just start an assembly in your home. But in any regard, we all need clear teaching from the Word of God, and we can get it in the local church. And even immature believers are going to benefit from that, and hopefully they will come to maturity. But now, I think some of the confusion comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, that verse says, if anyone is in Christ, most translations say he is a new creation. In the Greek, it just says, if anyone is in Christ, new creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest that we should supply there is a new creation, or he is part of a new creation. In other words, he now views fellow believers as brothers and sisters in Christ. He now views unbelievers as people outside the family of God. So he's part of a new creation, and the ultimate expression of that new creation will be seen when Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom. And he's anticipating and groaning, 2 Corinthians 5, for that new creation. He's looking forward to it. But that verse doesn't say that when you come to faith in Christ, suddenly you stop being an alcoholic. You stop being an immoral person. Suddenly, all of your sinful desires go away. Suddenly, you're a super saint. No, all that verse says, if you're in Christ, you're part of a new creation. You may not even realize the ramifications of the new creation. You need to be taught that. That fellow believers are your brothers and sisters. That may not be intuitively obvious to the baby Christian. They need to be taught that the people who haven't believed in Christ lack everlasting life and are not part of the family of God, and they need to develop compassion for them. But the truth of the matter is, there's no guarantee that when we come to faith in Christ, we're suddenly mature. But if you want a verse, Tim, that says we start the Christian life in fellowship with God, how about Acts chapter 10 and verse 43? Peter says, whoever believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins. That means at the moment that a person believes in him for everlasting life, that person is forgiven and has a clean slate. That's why we don't tell the unbeliever, in order to be born again, I want you to make a list of your top 100,000 sins, or your top 1,000 sins, or your top 100 sins. No, you don't need to make a list of any of your sins, because you don't have to confess your sins to be born again. What you need to do to be born again is to believe in Jesus, and when you do, you start the Christian life in fellowship with God, even though you're a carnal baby Christian. Well, I hope that helps, but I think it's exceedingly important that we all study out this question of carnality. I urge you to read carefully 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 3:3. I do have a blog on this. If you go to faithalone.org, you can read about it. But as Tim says, ultimately, you're going to have to grapple with this for yourself so you can come to terms with what Paul means by a carnal believer. It may not mean what a lot of the Lordship teachers say when they think carnal believer means someone in active rebellion. Well, thanks so much, and remember,
keep grace
in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, are believers ever in danger of hellfire? Referencing Matthew 5:22. Join us for that. And in the meantime, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.